Welcome to Ministry Minutes. This is Dr. Michael A. Milton, your host, shepherding shepherds who will shepherd the flock. Welcome. My dearly beloved students in the gospel, I want to congratulate you on your studies and your progress in ministry preparation. You are quite naturally investigating what is next for you. I don't say that it is the beginning of your ministry, because I believe that seminary is actually a ministry of its own, a ministry of preparation. However, you will begin your formal post-ordination service, and I want you to consider something. What I am going to place before you is not going to be for all of you. However, it will be for some of you who would not otherwise consider it, and that is chaplaincy in the armed forces. Now, you might say, I feel called to the local pastoral ministry or parish ministry. I understand, I felt the same way. You remember that the Apostle Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And so I felt as one, and this was so for me, it may not be so for you, that to fulfill my ministry, I wanted to reach more in the days and indeed years of ministry, if the Lord were to give me such years. I had a passion to reach those in the armed forces. And that is a key feature of chaplaincy. You want to reach people that you identify with in a particular area, a very concentrated field, be it healthcare or first responders. There's some connection that you have. And for me, my father was a naval officer in World War II, and he suffered greatly as a result of wounds that he received in that war. And he died when I was 6 years old. His picture was ever before me. And as soon as I was 17 years old, I signed up for the Navy. And I served in naval intelligence. I was a linguist and a cryptological technician. I received my first education, formal education, post-high school there, and that was at the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California. Something I'll never forget. A watershed moment in my young life, because it prepared me, indeed catapulted me, into further education that in turn prepared me to teach, as well as to share the gospel, although at the time I was not prepared to answer any call. But there were stirrings. But I would leave and then hear the gospel, and I was saved. I came into the Presbyterian Church in America as an elder, and then I was licensed to preach and began doing the work of an evangelist, as well as fulfilling my internship requirements. But in being licensed to preach, I conducted preaching ministry throughout our presbytery in the Midwest. I never got over the military. It always stayed with me. And so when I went to seminary and when I was preparing to leave seminary, I knew I had to in some way minister to my father and to that very confused young man that I was so many years ago. I remember that Dr. Kennedy, as I went to school at Knox Seminary, asked me, I thought that you were going to be planting a church. Why are you considering chaplaincy? And he was doing this as he was preparing to preach my commissioning service, which Chaplain Doug Lee conducted and swore me in. I said, well, I'm doing it in part because what I've learned from you. And he said, now, what have I taught you that makes you want to be a military chaplain? I said, well, I do want to be a church planter. I do want to be a local church pastor. I have to preach, and I have to shepherd the flock of Christ.
And I do have a passion for men and women who are in the workaday world, and I want to be in there in the community. But I have a heart for soldiers and sailors, Marine and airmen and Coast Guardsmen and merchant mariners and others who serve our country in that way. I want to do the work of an evangelist, and I learned that from Paul, but I saw it demonstrated with you. He said, I understand completely. And so I did. And in doing so, I entered into a field of ministry
that required balance.
In fact, sometimes it was like walking a tightrope, a high wire act, if you will, balancing local parish ministry, in my case, church planting, with the early years as a junior officer in the United States Army, and all that that meant, along with the training as a young chaplain. And in those days, it meant a sort of residency that I had at Leavenworth Disciplinary Barracks prison, military prison. And I did sustainment training there, which is what the Army called residency, post-seminary residency, even as I was planting that church in Overland Park, Kansas. And it was a difficult balancing act. And some have tried it and have fallen. Some have tried it and felt it would be difficult to continue to walk it. I probably did all of those things. Fell, found it difficult, kept going. For one reason, in my case, I wanted to do the work of an evangelist, and I felt compelled to do so, and I believed that that compulsion was used of the Lord. I loved those whom I served in the local parish as well as in the chaplaincy. And I tell you this because I believe some of you should consider the balancing act that is reserve armed forces chaplaincy and local church ministry. And I'll give you a few reasons why. Number one, you do, in fact, have the opportunity to share the gospel with a larger, we should say at least a broader, a more diverse community. You're ministering to young enlisted people as well as officers, and you're ministering to people from all across the United States and increasingly in the U.S. Armed Forces, those from other countries who come into the Armed Forces as a way to find citizenship in the United States. And that's very gratifying, and I loved that. I enjoyed it. And of course, I had the opportunity to share the gospel and to lead some of those to Jesus Christ. Secondly, I believe that one experience contributed to the other. And I mean to say that being a local church pastor contributed to my work as a chaplain. Increasingly, I found that there were fewer and fewer preachers in the chaplaincy. Many counselors, many focused on discipleship, small group discipleship in particular.
I observed that there were fewer chaplains who focused on the pulpit ministry or the exposition of the Word of God. So I found opportunities within the chaplaincy for preaching and had many invitations to preach at installations around the country or for a conference or to teach preaching. And so that was a great opportunity to apply the work of a parish pastor to the chaplaincy.
On the other hand, I was receiving exposure to a community that helped me in my work in church planting. I received training in strategy, critical thinking, and other skills that were readily transferable to the local church ministry that I might have missed otherwise. And thirdly, I made friends that helped me in my local church ministry, and my relationships being formed in the local church helped my chaplain ministry. People at the local church prayed for me and encouraged me in my work. Rarely did I receive any concerned statements that it was taking away from my ministry at the local church. But I received so much in terms of support and encouragement from peers in the military chaplaincy. Friends I made that are with me today, that I count as friends for the rest of my life and through eternity, who made a big difference in my life. I think another reason is the opportunity to serve the country where we live. That meant something to me then. It means something to me now. It was a sacrifice, as I say, a balancing act, but one I would make 1,000 times over. I absolutely loved it. Another reason is education. One of the greatest things that you will have to do in ministry is assess, diagnose, and treat the pathologies of the human soul. Armed Forces chaplaincy, even for reserve chaplains, includes and requires training in the areas that touch upon those three processes associated with counseling, assessment, diagnosis, treatment, workshops, conferences, formal education, all of which work together to help your ministry overall, as well as in each respective sphere of ministry. And finally, there is a reason you should consider, and that is the opportunity to preach the gospel to those who might otherwise not hear it. Many of our people we minister to in the local church come from other churches, other traditions. Many of them, not all of them, and this varies by minister and location. Many of them, though in my case, would have become acquainted in some way with the gospel. However, in the Armed Forces chaplaincy, it's not unusual at all to speak to someone who has no background whatsoever, no connection to God. And I had the opportunity to pray with some of those to receive Christ.
Service to Jesus Christ and His people as both a civilian pastor and a reserve Armed Forces chaplain brings a rich and varied experience and ministry, one that I am certain you will never regret. And the greatest part of it all is to fulfill the work of an evangelist, to lead men and women to Almighty God, and to bring God to those people. The Lord bless you and keep you.
For the D. James Kennedy Institute of Reformed Leadership, this is Dr. Michael A. Milton, hoping you'll join us again next time on Ministry Minutes. The Lord bless you and keep you.